1 Samuel, continue verse by verse through the book of 1 Samuel on Sunday nights, 1 Samuel chapter 1. And we'll be finishing the first chapter tonight. Trust this first chapter has been a real blessing to you. We've looked at the physical and the spiritual side of being barren. And the barrenness in the church and what it ought to cause, what kind of reaction it ought to cause in our life. And then we've seen the prayer from Hannah and how the Lord answered that prayer and just what a blessing that was. And tonight we're going to look at the end of the chapter. Verse 24, the Bible says this, And when she had weaned him, she took him up with her and three bullocks and one ephah of flour and a bottle of wine and brought him unto the house of the Lord in Shiloh. And the child was young. And they slew a bullock and brought the child to Eli. And she said, O my Lord, as thy soul liveth, my Lord, I am the woman that stood by thee here praying unto the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition which I asked of him. Therefore also have I lent him to the Lord. For as long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord. And he worshipped the Lord there. Tonight, this thought out of these verses is three sacrifices we ought to be willing to give. Three sacrifices. Let's go ahead and pray and we'll get started tonight. Lord, it's sure a blessing to be here again tonight. And just thank you so much for the time that you've given us to be here. Thank you for our church family. And we thank you for your word that we can stand and freely preach and study and love and try to live. And Lord, we just ask that as we look into this passage tonight, Lord, you'd help our hearts. Lord, I know it's been a long day for many, and just ask that you'd help us to focus on your word this time. Lord, pray it would find a good place in our heart and be effectual in our lives. Lord, help us to be doers of the word and not hearers only. May we bring you praise, honor, and glory, for you deserve it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Now, there in verse 24, we talked about this last week about that spiritual weaning, and Hannah said she was not going to take Samuel to the temple until she had weaned him. And we understand what that's talking about. And so verse 24, it says, when she had weaned him, she took him up with her. Now that's important because she vowed a vow to the Lord. And she said, Lord, if you'll give me a man child, I'll give him back to you. And so she's making good on that vow. She's following through with what she told the Lord she was going to do. And not only did she come up with her son, it says she came with three bullocks and one ephah of flour and a bottle of wine. Now, that really strikes me. Because not only was she giving her son, her firstborn son, whom she had prayed and wept and fasted over, not only was she taking him to the temple, she's also bringing another sacrifice to the Lord. She's giving up her dearest possession and her son, but yet she's also bringing this additional sacrifice to worship the Lord with. And that just stands out so strongly to me because there was no attitude in her that God owed her anything. See, God had given her the son that she had so diligently prayed for and had wanted so badly. And then when she gets him, she takes him to the temple and makes good on her word, but she also brings this additional sacrifice. And to me, that's just going above and beyond. That's someone that's going above what's expected of them. And of the three sacrifices tonight, the first one I want us to look at is the sacrifice of things. You know, those physical possessions outside of her son really probably meant nothing to her. I mean, she's giving her only son of her own womb. She's giving that to the Lord, and yet she's bringing all these other things. And folks, for us to fully worship the Lord, we're going to have to get over some of our earthly things. We're going to have to be able to sacrifice some of those worldly things that we hold to so dearly and so tightly, and we think that they're so important. But yet, are we willing to give those things up in order to worship the Lord and draw closer to Him? So the first thing tonight, just very simply, was Hannah was willing to bring things and to sacrifice things unto the Lord. And it didn't matter what it was, and then really she had no attitude that God owed her anything. And what a blessing that was, as we'll see here later. Now, in verse 24, let's keep reading. When she had weaned him, she took him with her and three bullocks and one ephah of flour and a bottle of wine and brought him unto the house of the Lord in Shiloh, and the child was young. And they slew a bullock and brought the child to Eli. Now verse 26, and she said, O my Lord, as thy soul liveth, my Lord, I am the woman that stood by thee here praying unto the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition which I asked of him. The second sacrifice that we see according to Hebrews 13:15 is that sacrifice of praise. Hold your place there in 1 Samuel. Let's turn over there to Hebrews 13. Just want you to see this, Hebrews 13, verse 15. The Bible says this, Hebrews 13, 15, By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. I try to make it a point, it's a miracle, but if someone comes to me after a message and says, Brother Nathan, I enjoyed that message, I'm trying to get in the habit so diligently to say, well, praise the Lord. And that is not, if you say that to me, that's not a slight on you. I just want you to understand, I want to give honor and glory to God. It's not just me standing up here. If he's working through me, it's his glory and his glory alone. Well, praise the Lord. And it's a very simple thing here, but the second thing that Hannah was willing to give and the sacrifice we need to be willing to give is that sacrifice of praise. How often do things happen in our life and people either compliment us or talk about how well something turned out and we have the opportunity to say, well, praise the Lord, it was his hand that did it. And yet that opportunity slides by. And here Hannah, she comes to Eli and she says, Oh my Lord, as I so live, my Lord, I am the woman that stood by thee here praying unto the Lord. It's like he didn't remember, and maybe he didn't. But she comes to him and she says, I stood here in verse 27, for this child I prayed. Specific. She comes to him and she says, Eli, I'm that woman that stood here. You thought I was drunk. But I was praying to the Lord, and you told me that my petition would be answered, and I'm back. This is the child that God gave me. What a blessing. Well, don't you think that stirred Eli's pot a little bit? Wow, God answered a prayer. And so Hannah comes and she offers this praise, and it's a specific praise. For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition, which I asked of him. People, both lost and saved, need to hear us praise the Lord. We talked about in the witnessing class this afternoon about developing that relationship and that personal testimony with people. Well, don't you think if you could be there talking to somebody and say, I'll tell you what, I needed this and God supplied that need. What an impact that would make in their life. Missionaries come through time after time after time and talk about the need that they had on the field. And sometimes they don't even tell anyone about it. And they're praying that the Lord would answer that prayer, and it gets answered, and now they can come and they can praise the Lord and uplift his name for the great thing that he's done. Folks, we need to get in the habit of doing that. That sacrifice of praise, it's so easy just to let that slide. But we need to be diligent in giving that praise to the Lord. We need to be diligent in giving that thanks to the Lord. And then the third thing tonight that we see there in verse 28, and this is where we'll spend most of our time, Chapter 1, verse 28, the Bible says, Therefore also have I lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord. And he worshiped the Lord there. The third sacrifice we need to be willing to give is the sacrifice of our life. And we'll develop this thought here over the next few minutes. But that word lend, you know, in our popular culture today, you hear that word, and that word evokes ideas of going to see Brother Richard at True Point Bank and sitting down in his office and saying, I need this amount of money. And they'll pre-qualify you for a loan perhaps and see whether or not they want to lend you the money. That's the loaning and the lending that we think of. And that word lend, the past tense is lent, is what we see here in the text. But that word lend has three main definitions. The first definition is that popular idea that we have, to grant for temporary use with an expectation of compensation for the use. In other words, the bank will give you money and you are to pay back that money with interest. Sometimes a lot of interest. Okay. Processing fees. All right, just like a dealership, auto dealership. Okay? That's what we're familiar with. Okay, is that sort of lending. That is one definition. And that type of definition or that type of lending really benefits the lender. Yeah, I mean the Bible says the borrower shall be servant to the lender. When you are borrowing on that type of a principle, A $20,000 loan comes back at $25,000 or $30,000 by the time you've paid it all in. Okay, we all understand that. That's the type of loaning that we understand, and it benefits the lender. It's known in the Bible as usury. As usury, and it was commanded of Israel that they don't charge usury within the nation of Israel. That's in Deuteronomy chapter 23. God said, don't you charge your brother usury. Now, I understand, church, we're not Israel. But I would say this is probably good practice. If somebody needs something in this congregation that comes to you and says, could you loan me this? For you not to charge usury on that. We ought to treat one another better than we treat the world. We ought to treat one another better than the world treats us. And so that's just a simple principle, but that's the first definition of the word lend, is the grant for temporary use with expectation of compensation for that use. The second definition is this, a temporary use with understanding that it will be returned or an equivalent returned. Guys, all I can think about on this one is you loan somebody a tool, right? Brother, I need your cordless drill. Okay, here you go. There's an expectation that that drill's coming back. And if something happens in your possession that that drill cannot come back, there's an expectation that Sears has provided one or Lowe's has provided one, right? That type of lending. I'll lend you this, but I want it back. And if you bust it and break it and blow it up while you've got it, I want a new one back. Okay? That's another type of lending. All right? That's the second one. And there's a third definition that I really want to focus on tonight because I believe this is where Hannah was. This third type of lending is to permit use for another's benefit with no expectation of return. So what are you talking about? Turn over to Exodus chapter 12. Exodus chapter 12. This is the most interesting account of this word in the Bible, and you know, you wonder why the Lord used this word, and I believe it was to illustrate this part of the definition of the word. Exodus chapter 12. We'll begin reading in verse 31. Here, where we're at in the book is at the end of the 10 plagues, and the Israelites are poised to go out of Egypt. And Pharaoh, verse 30, says, rose up in the night, and all of his servants and the Egyptians, and there was a great cry in Egypt, for there was not a house where there was not one dead. So all the firstborn males have been killed. The Passover is just finished, verse 31. And he called for Moses and Aaron by night and said, rise up and get you forth from among my people, both ye and the children of Israel, and go serve the Lord as ye have said. Also take your flocks and your herds as ye have said, and be gone, and bless me also. And the Egyptians were urgent upon the people that they might send them out of the land in haste, for they said, we all be dead men. Verse 34. And the people took their dough before it was leavened, their kneading troughs being bound up in their clothes upon their shoulders. And the children of Israel did according to the word of Moses. Look what it says. And they borrowed of the Egyptians jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment. Now, think about this. Was there any intention on the Israelites' part of paying that back? Uh-uh. They're out of town. They're gone. See you later. The Bible says they borrowed it. Verse 36, and the Lord gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians so that they, here's the word, lent unto them such things as they required, and they spoiled the Egyptians. Folks, there was no intention whatsoever to pay all that back to Egypt. They took it, and they ran with it. But the Bible says that it was borrowed and it was lent. What that simply means, I think, is the Lord was showing Egypt and showing them his power and that ultimately, he spoiled the land of Egypt, but they really didn't see it coming. They said, okay, we'll give these Israelites this stuff, and they'll come back, and then we'll get it back from them. But that wasn't the case at all. That wasn't the intention at all. And so back in 1 Samuel, we see that Hannah, verse 28, she says, I have lent him unto the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord. So we see there was in Exodus, there was no intention of repaying. There was no intention of a return. And the expectation given of the Egyptians to those Israelites was the expectation of the use of that thing. Same here with Hannah. She was giving her son to the Lord with the expectation that God's going to use him. With the expectation that God's going to do something with him. And folks, that's our modern day, what we do with a baby dedication. I know mine and Valerie's heart, when we dedicated Abigail, we literally were giving her to the Lord. But here's the deal. She's still my daughter. She's still Valerie's daughter. We're still responsible for her. But yet, we've given her to the Lord. We have, in a sense, lent her to the Lord to be used as He sees fit. And there's a very important characteristics of that type of lending. There's no expectation for return. When I gave my daughter to the Lord, I didn't say, okay, Lord, here she goes now. I want $50,000 over the next 5 years. That wasn't an expectation. And the same with Hannah. When she gave Samuel to Eli and to the Lord, that was her thrill. That was her grand moment, was to give something to the Lord with no expectation for return. And that sacrifice of life, that sacrifice of that child's life, and you understand what I'm saying, it's not a death sacrifice, but it's a giving that to the Lord that He may use it however He sees fit. And there's no expectation of return. So we see that Samuel was still Hannah's son. And now here's the thing for us personally. Every one of us have been given a life to live by the Lord. It's our life. Choose to do what we want to with it. We can choose to honor Him and serve Him, or we can choose to serve ourselves. And when we come to the Lord, and maybe it's on an altar, whatever it might be, if you've never done this, I encourage you to do it. But to bow and to bow your head before the Lord and say, Lord, take my life. It's mine, but I'm going to give it to You. And Lord, I've got no expectation for return. I just want You to use me. I can remember doing that as a young man, probably 24, 26 years old, lending my life to the Lord, saying, Lord, I know it's my life, but I want You to take it and use it. And Lord, all I expect is for You to use me. I don't have any return that I'm expecting. Lord, I'm not giving You my life and expecting You to bless me with $100,000 every year. Lord, I'm not giving You my life and expecting all these grand, wonderful physical blessings. No, Lord, take my life. Use it how You see fit. If you look over in Matthew chapter 10, let's look there. Matthew chapter 10. Talk about lending our lives to the Lord, giving our lives to the Lord with no expectation of return. Matthew chapter 10, the Bible says in verse 37, He that loveth father or mother more than Me is not worthy of Me. He that loveth son or daughter more than Me is not worthy of Me. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after Me is not worthy of Me. He that findeth his life shall lose it. And he that loseth his life for My sake shall find it. I wonder tonight, have you lost your life for the Savior's sake? Have you taken it to Him and let go and said, Lord, it's Yours. Use it how You see fit. In Mark chapter 8, if you would flip over to Mark chapter 8, there's another tweak to this little thing. Mark chapter 8, a little example. Mark chapter 8, verse 34. The Bible says this, Mark 8, 34, And when He had called the people unto Him with His disciples also, He said unto them, Whosoever will come after Me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow Me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life, look what it says, for My sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. I wonder tonight, have we given our life to the Lord? Have we lent it to Him with no expectation of return? Have we lent it to Him, no holds bar? If you've got a red hymnal there in front of you, turn over to page 393. We sing this song on occasion. Very fitting tonight. Number 393, it's called Take My Life and Let It Be. The words say, Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to Thee. Take my hands and let them move at the impulse of Thy love. Verse 2, Take my feet and let them be swift and beautiful for Thee. Take my voice and let me sing always only for My King. Take my lips and let them be filled with messages for Thee. Take my silver, here's the things, and my gold, not a mite, would I withhold. And the last stanza says, Take my love, my God, I pour at Thy feet its treasure store. Take myself, and I will be ever only all for Thee. You know why I like that song? Because there's no request for anything back. It's, Lord, take, Lord, take, Lord, take, Lord, take. Take my hands, take my voice, take my things, take my life, and let it be only for you. No expectation of return. There's no attitude in Hannah's life of an expected return. It was pure love, adoration, and appreciation of God's goodness. And you know, when we bring a sacrifice to God, you understand He's not indebted to us. He's not indebted to us at all. We're indebted to Him. It's a giving of our love and a giving of ourselves to Him because we love Him. Because He first loved us, and we'll look at that in a minute. Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6. We need to come to the Lord with these sacrifices with a heart that does not expect a return, doing it purely out of love. 1 John 4:19 says, we love Him because He first loved us. He's the one that showed His love toward us. He's the one that showed His goodness toward us. It ought to lead us to repentance. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 10, the Bible says, for God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have showed toward His name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. Now, we just covered, we ought to give those sacrifices with no expectation of return. But you know, God's not unrighteous to forget that. He's still that good. Even when we give a sacrifice that we owe to Him, He's still good enough to turn around and bless us for that. You say, what are you talking about? Back in 1 Samuel chapter 2, let's see Samuel's reaction here. 1 Samuel chapter 2. 1 Samuel chapter 2 and verse 20, the Bible says, and Eli blessed Elkanah and his wife and said, the Lord give thee seed of this woman. Why? For her goodness? No. For the loan which is lent to the Lord. And don't you know in verse 21 there it says, and the Lord visited Hannah so that she conceived and bare three sons and two daughters. You know, Hannah bore six children in all. She gave her first one to the Lord and said, Lord, here he is. I don't expect anything back. And yet the Lord blessed her with five more children. Why? Because she was willing to give that with no expectation of return. She didn't give him to the Lord and say, Lord, okay, I gave you one, now I want at least seven back. There was none of that. And if you look at her prayer in chapter 1, verse 11, look at her prayer. Chapter 1, verse 11, and she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid and remember me and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid, what's the next word? A man-child. Then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life. She just wanted one. And when she got it, she said, Lord, I'm going to give it to you. I don't expect any more. But yet God in his goodness, because she had that attitude, he said, Hannah, thank you. Here's five more. What a blessing. God's not unrighteous to forget that labor of love and that work. So we see Hannah just wanted a child, no mention of other children. And folks, for you and I in our lives, we ought not serve God and sacrifice our things. We ought not sacrifice our praise. And we ought not sacrifice our lives for what God will do for us. It ought to simply be because He first loved us. We're going to give of ourselves to Him. We do so because of what He's already done for us in our life. Now, we've been having these witnessing classes and we've been doing these things to get prepared to really reach out and get aggressive reaching our community. And I tell you, folks, it's going to take some sacrifice of things. It's going to take some sacrifice of praise. We're going to have to praise the Lord publicly in the ears of sinners and lost folks. But it's going to take the sacrifice of our life. Lord, take my life and let it be. Take my hands, my feet, my lips. Lord, take my silver, my gold, not a mite would I withhold. Lord, take my life and let it be consecrated for Thee. It's got to be our attitude. And our attitude has to be that we don't expect anything in return. That we're just going to do it because we love the Lord. Not for what He can bless us with, although He will bless us. We're not doing it for the blessing's sake. We're doing it because He's worthy. We're doing it because we love Him. That's where we have to be. That's the heart attitude we have to have. So are we willing to sacrifice our things? Are we willing to sacrifice our praise and our lives with no expectation of return? Romans 12:1 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. It's not unreasonable for God to ask that. It's not unreasonable for us to give that to Him. But when we give it to Him, we shouldn't expect a return. We should do it because it's our reasonable service. Matthew 6:33 says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things, the things that we need, shall be added unto us. We saw in Hebrews 6:10, God's not unrighteous to forget our labor of love for Him. He's not that unrighteous. He's a righteous God. Philippians 4:19, we love to quote this verse, but my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory in Christ Jesus. But the preceding verses of that, the context tells us that those people in Philippi had given all. They'd given once and again. They had done it out of love. Not because there was an expected return, but they did it because they loved the Lord. I know it's been a short message tonight and a short thought, but I hope it rings home with us, folks. The service that we do for our Lord and Savior needs to be because we love Him. And for no other reason. Let's bow our heads tonight.